Good morning. As you can see, Joshua isn't here today. He's actually preaching at Blair Daff, but you'll be pleased to know that he's recorded the sermon. He's also recorded the prayers for the world and the blessing at the end. So I'm just really keeping things going in between. But we pray for him and the congregation at Blair Daff as part of the Benahi churches together. Just a few intimations. For those on the session, there is a session meeting this Tuesday at 7:30, and I'm not sure where it is. Is it in the church centre? Yeah, church centre, thank you. So it's at the church centre at 7:30. But I'd like to welcome everybody who's here live this morning. You're all live, which is really very good. Those watching live on the internet, and especially our friends at Littlewood Court, and those who are watching on the catch-up service as well. So you're very welcome to be with us. You have a couple of intimations as well, haven't you, Suzanne?
Yes, good morning. An intimation from the Kemney Food Larder, I think it's called. We have a green basket at the back of the church, and there's also a green basket at Loaves and Fishes. They are quite short of things like soup and tin stuff. And also with the summer coming in, they're maybe looking for some donations of sunscreen and things like that that we could buy. But please help us out, because they really do appreciate the help that we give them. The other thing is, Loaves and Fishes is really quite desperately short on staff, especially in the afternoons. If you can spare a few hours in an afternoon, or know anyone who can, or point me in the right direction so that I can speak to someone who they can. If they can do that, that would be really good. So the shift is in the cafe, and it's usually 2 till clear up is 4:30, except on a Tuesday where it'll probably be a bit later because we've got some dancing mums come in. Thank you.
Okay, today is a very special day. Today is Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the birth of the church, when God sent the Holy Spirit to fill his apostles, to fill his followers throughout the ages. And the Holy Spirit is with us today. He's here enabling us to worship God in spirit and in truth. So we're going to worship God by singing, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord."
I'm always reminded on Pentecost that it says in the Bible, Christ said, you know, "When only two or three gather together, I am there in the midst of you." And well, there's only a few of us in church today, but there are some people watching online as well. Down at Littlewood Court and elsewhere, some people that we don't even know are present, and God's with us all at this time.
Forever. let's join in our prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we join together this morning to bring you our worship and our praise, to hear your word, to take from it the teaching brought to us by Joshua, and we bring you our thanks. We thank you for all the blessings we enjoy in our daily lives, blessings that take us from merely existing to living lives full of richness and abundance. We thank you for all the people who enrich our lives, some through their work, some through encouragement or friendship, or the gift of their time. Father, we pray that we can all be encouragers or enrichers, helping others in their journey. Lord, we know though that we often fail to help, sometimes hindering or hurting other people. We think on these times and we bring them to you for your forgiveness. Your forgiveness is promised to those who are truly sorry, and this gives us comfort always, Lord. We ask your blessing on the gifts of money given for the work of the church. May they be used wisely and carefully. May the gifts you have given us, whatever they may be used for your glory and for the benefit of your people. Father, we ask you to open our ears and our hearts to your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. I think, Matthew, you're up here there. Would you like to come down?
Yes, please.
Okay. Lydia, would you like to come over? That colour. I think they're fantastic. Where did you get them from?
I can't really remember.
Oh, that's a shame, because I'd like to go and buy some myself. Hello, Matthew. Have you got any green Wellington boots? No, it's actually quite a good thing to be wearing, because have you ever been in a rowing boat? A rowing boat, you know, when somebody rows?
No.
Have you ever been in a boat? Have they ever been a boat? Yes, they have. You have.
Whoops.
Yes.
Whoops.
Have you been in a boat? Try again.
Yes.
Good. Well done. Okay. What sort of boat was it?
It's a sailing boat.
A sailing boat. Oh, a sailing boat. Wow, that sounds fun. So, when you're in a sailing boat, how big was the boat?
60 feet.
How many?
60 feet.
60 feet. Would you like to come out and sit there, David? Yeah, your daddy speaks through you. He's really clever, isn't he? Yeah. So, about 60 feet. So, it's quite a big boat, isn't it? And did you like being on a boat, if you can remember? You did. What did you like about being on the boat?
I was liking it because it was going up and down.
Up and down on the waves. Do you like that, did you? You like the feel of that. And what did you like about it, Matthew?
It's nice and relaxing.
Nice and relaxing. Do you like being on deep water? There's big deep water underneath you, wasn't there? Yes. Was it a bit scary at all?
Yes.
It was a bit scary. Okay. Why was it scary?
Because you could drown in it.
Oh, so you could drown in it. Oh, yes, that could be a bit scary, wouldn't it? But why weren't you afraid to go in the boat? Why did you go in it anyway?
Because I wanted to try it out.
You wanted to try it out. And who was looking after you in the boat? Oh, Dad. Oh, girl, there. So if your dad was looking after you, you were going to be all right, weren't you? Do you think so?
Yeah.
Phew, right answer. Dads always look after you, yes. Don't we, dads? Yes. It's a hard job, that. Really, it is. So, you were in this boat. You enjoyed going up and down on the waves. You were a little bit scared because the water was deep and you could drown, but you had your dad looking after you. Whew, that's good. I'm going to tell you a story which we're going to look at a bit later in the service that Joshua is going to speak about. And it was about Jesus deciding that he wanted to go across this big lake called the Sea of Galilee. And it was very deep, and the disciples got in the boat, and they were going across the lake, And suddenly they were going up and down, and then they were going up and down, up and down, because the waves were getting very big, because the wind was blowing. What do you think you would have felt like if you'd been out on the boat and suddenly the waves got very big? What would you feel?
Seasick.
That would be the first feeling. And then once you started to feel seasick and you saw the water starting to come over the side of the boat, what would you have felt then?
Scared.
Yes. Now, when the disciples saw the water coming over the side of the boat, they were scared. Now, they had Jesus with them. And do you think Jesus was scared?
No,
he wasn't. No, Jesus was actually asleep in the back of the boat. He wasn't very scared at all. And the disciples thought, what's he doing? We're going to drown if he doesn't do something. Although what they thought he was going to do, I don't know. But they went and they woke up Jesus and they said to him, don't you worry, or don't you care that we're going to drown? And he woke up and he looked and he just said to the storm, he said to the wind, stop. And he said to the waves, you calm down. And do you know what? The wind stopped. And the waves calmed down, and the boat was fine. I mean, I don't think even your dad could do that. Do you think that? Do you think, David? No, he doesn't think he could do that either. But Jesus was made able to do that. And the disciples, they thought, who is this person that he can even tell the storm to stop? And they were amazed, and they were quite frightened of him, because they thought, he's so much bigger than, so much greater than anybody else that we've ever met before. And they began to realize that he wasn't just a man, that he was God as well. And you know, when Jesus looked after them there, he's promised that he'll look after them always, and he'll look after us always. So no matter what's happening around us, he's always going to be there. So just like you depended on your dad in the boat, and they depended on Jesus in the boat, whatever happens to us, God tells us that we can trust him to be with us, to care for us, and to make sure that the best things happen for us. Even when things seem to be really horrible, he's going to be there. And that's a great thing that God tells us, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to sing a song, which is, I think, My God is a Great Big God, because there's nothing that he can't do. Okay? So thank you very much for joining us. And the Wellington boots were just appropriate for a story about a boat, weren't they? Okay, thank you.
Our God is a great big God. Our God.
don't go away yet. Come back. I thought we'll stick in an extra song here for the kids today. And you all know it, and you all know the action, so you have to stand up again to do this. It's with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, smile at the storm, and we go rolling home. Okay, that's what things impromptu. Okay, so the words are, with Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, when we go sailing home, okay? Sailing, sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, sailing home. Now, you can easily remember all those words, can't you? With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm, and we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. With Jesus. Done for an impromptu.
Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Suzanne. We're now going to sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And what a friend we do have in Jesus indeed.
Oh,
We're now going to go to the sermon, which, as I say, Joshua has recorded in advance for us.
Let us pray. Lord, as we pause to reflect on your word together, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord Jesus, you are the strength and the redemption and the hope and the peace of all who place trust in you. Amen. So today here in Kemne, we're continuing with our series on questions from Jesus. And today's passage and today's question come to us from the Gospel according to Mark. As we may know, Mark's Gospel is thought to be the original and earliest Gospel of the four we have in the New Testament. It's also the shortest Gospel, primary source most likely for Matthew's Gospel and for Luke's Gospel as well. And throughout this Gospel, throughout these 16 chapters of Mark's Gospel, we encounter a deep sense of urgency and drivenness, with the narrative moving at a lightning quick pace from event to event. It's like the writer Mark can't wait to tell us what he knows and what he has seen about the life and saving ministry and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But despite the brevity of the gospel, Mark's gospel is also rich with details that could only come from an eyewitness account. It's largely thought that the chief eyewitness for Mark's gospel was the apostle Peter. And in this passage about Jesus calming a storm, there's many, many elements of an eyewitness account. In these seven verses, we are told many things that someone present would have been able to observe and recount for later. We're told in verse 35 about the time of day that this event happened. It happened in the evening. In verse 36, we're added the extra detail that other boats were with the boat of the disciples. Again, that's something only an eyewitness would probably recount. In verse 37, we are told that the wind from the storm was so strong that it was making the boat fill with water. In verse 38, we're told that not only was Jesus asleep, but he was asleep on a cushion. In verse 38 as well, we encounter a bit of sarcasm from the disciples when they see the water flooding the boat. They ask Jesus, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" And in verse 40, of course, we encounter Jesus' power-filled rebuke of the wind and the sea. So these and other many details give us a flavor of an eyewitness account. And it's within the context of this passage, this eyewitness account, that we will encounter an all-important question from Jesus. But first, in preparation for that question, let's work our way a bit through the text. In verse 35 and 36, it says, "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also the other boats with him." Now, these verses talk about the presence of other boats, and it also tells us that Jesus directly transitioned from teaching the crowds to being in the boat with his disciples. Again, there's that sense of urgency and immediacy that Mark's gospel gives to us. The text also tells us that Jesus is the one who made the request to cross the Sea of Galilee. We learn in the next chapter, chapter 5, that Jesus made this crossing to confront the Gerasene demoniac. Now, these verses that we heard a few moments ago from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, they've been captured many times in art. And just a quick Google search will show just how many different depictions of this miraculous story there really are. But what sort of boat was this, we might wonder? Well, back in 1986, the old hull of a boat, very old hull, was discovered in the mud on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the measurements were about 8 meters long, 2 meters wide, and 1.3 meters high. This kind of boat that was discovered could accommodate about 4 spaces for rowers and had a maximum space for about 15 people. So it's a good-sized boat. And it's likely that Jesus and disciples used a similar-sized boat, at least, for their crossing across the sea. And because the Sea of Galilee was and is so far below sea level, about over 200 meters, and because of the surrounding hills and mountains, the Sea of Galilee is quite prone to violent storms then and now. So in verse 37, we are told a furious squall or a mighty wind came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped with water. Now, the word we translate as furious squall can literally mean storm or even hurricane in Greek. And even today, those who fish on the Sea of Galilee refer to the early evening easterly, there's a tongue twister, the easterly wind. It's translated into English as the shark. And this should give us a vivid picture about the thrashing nature of the waves whipped about by the wind that comes on the Sea of Galilee. But the text is clear. Jesus is the one who sets the course for this journey across the sea. He's the one who led his disciples into the storm. In verse 38, we are told that Jesus was asleep on a cushion. Be clear, he was asleep while the storm was raging. Now, I don't know about any of you, but it is not easy to fall asleep when we're in a state of excitement or fear. It's not easy at all. In fact, it's almost impossible, isn't it? In order to have a really proper sleep, we need to have a sense of relaxation. And even more than relaxation, we need to have a sense of peace. And of course, we also need to be tired as well. And there's no doubt that Jesus was tired from teaching the multitudes upon the shore before they went in this boat ride across the sea to the other side. But he was also in a state of peace and calmness. He was clearly relaxed in this passage. And we need to be clear that being asleep in the middle of a storm should not be taken as a lack of care for his disciples. Instead, I think it's meant as a powerful depiction of the Lord's trust in the Father. And the wider theme of trusting God in difficult or unknown circumstances is prevalent throughout this entire chapter. If we take the time to read through it, we see it in the earlier parable of the farmer who scatters seed in the hard soil, and we also see it in the parable of the growing seed. These parables highlight the working of God's power, even and especially when we face difficult times, even and especially when we're not even aware that God's power is at work. It's still there, though. And in today's passage, Jesus knew that his whole life was in the Father's hands. He also knew that every part of his life would bring glory to his Father in heaven. And so he could sleep with peace, even in the middle of a severe storm. As I said before, Jesus led his disciples into this storm. Let that sink in just for a couple of moments. He led them into the storm. Wouldn't it be nice if faith protected us from the trials of life? Wouldn't it be nice if following Jesus was a guarantee of a carefree existence? This passage from Mark's Gospel and many other passages in Scripture, they forcibly remind us that this is not the case, of course. In fact, sometimes a life of faith creates or opens us up to challenges and trials. In Matthew 16, Jesus famously teaches us, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would follow after me, he says, let that one deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, the Lord says, will find it. That's a radical teaching to encounter and to ponder. This is the call of discipleship we hear. The call of discipleship is not a call to an easy, carefree life. Instead, it's a call to a life focused on following in the way of Jesus Christ, wherever he may lead. But to be clear, God is not a sadist. In a life of faith, we do not encounter trials because God wants to harm us. Far from it. Instead, we are told throughout Scripture in the experience of faith that God can use the trials we face to help our spiritual growth as disciples. God can use the trials we face to grow us into disciples of Jesus. Just over a week ago, I read about the recent passing away of Timothy Keller, who was a Presbyterian pastor based in New York City. In 1989, after serving in a more rural context, Keller took on the challenge of planting a new Presbyterian congregation in the middle of a very secular New York City. By God's amazing grace and under Keller's pastoral leadership, the congregation known as Redeemer Presbyterian Church grew to over 5,000 members, and it now has locations across the Big Apple of New York. Along with being a pastor, Keller was also a prolific author. He wrote extensively about the meaning of Scripture and the Christian faith and how we as disciples are called to follow Jesus in the 21st century. With Keller, no topic was ever off limits. And because of the quality of his books, many people have compared him to C.S. Lewis. And that's, I think, quite the compliment. I have many of his books on my shelf, and I have appreciated many of them, especially his book titled Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. That's the name of the book, Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. It's a no-holds-barred, unflinching look at what it means to live as a Christian, not in an ideal world, but in the broken, messed up, confusing, and uncertain world all around us. In one of his chapters, Keller reflects and writes that he says, "For God has purposed to defeat evil so exhaustively in the cross of Jesus, that all the ravages of evil will someday be undone, and we, despite now participating in it so deeply, we will be saved." Keller continues, "God is accomplishing this not in spite of suffering, agony, and loss, but through these things. It is through the suffering of God in Jesus that the suffering of humanity will eventually be overcome and undone." So suffering, he writes, is at the very heart of the Christian faith. It is not only the way Christ became like and redeemed us, he says, but it is one of the main ways we become like him and experience his redemption. These are challenging words for us to hear, but I think they point to the truth of Scripture. And in today's passage from Mark, Jesus brought his disciples into and through a storm. Bringing them into and through a storm helped his disciples to become more like him. And in the words of Keller, to experience his redemption. I am convinced that our Lord does the same thing in our lives as well. Now, all of our storms, all of our challenges, all of the things that shake us, they all look just a wee bit different. We all have our own challenges and trials, but we will all face the storm in one way or another. And when the storms of life come, our natural instinct is to be like the disciples in this passage, basically saying, "Where are you, Jesus? Wake up. Don't you care that we are in trouble?" And to be clear, fear is not always a bad thing. A little bit of fear can keep us alive, can't it? Currently, my 4-year-old son is quite fearless and interestingly has the opposite effect on me. And the Bible has quite a lot to say about fear, doesn't it? You know what the most common and repeated command in Scripture is? Do not be afraid. Now, when the Bible speaks against fear in this command, do not be afraid, it isn't talking, I think, about healthy fear. It isn't talking about this kind of caution that we use against obviously dangerous situations necessarily. Instead, it's talking about the kind of fear that makes us lose sight of God in our lives and in creation around us. That's the kind of fear it's speaking against. The kind of fear, I'll say that again, that makes us lose sight of God in our lives and in creation around us. The Bible is speaking against the kind of fear that shrinks the soul. It is talking about the kind of fear that makes us doubt who Jesus really is. This, I think, is the kind of fear that Jesus addresses in today's question. Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Jesus said this after he spoke the words of command to the wind and the waves to tell them to be still. And after he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, in a great twist of irony, the text tells us that the disciples were even more afraid after hearing this command and seeing the wind and the waves obey him. And in response to this question from Jesus, the disciples asked a question of their own. The text says, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, in a life of faith, we will all face the kind of fear that Scripture speaks against. We will all face the temptation to let fear drown out faith. But by calming the wind and the waves, Jesus used his disciples' fear to create a new opportunity for them to put their trust in him. And as we continue our own journeys, as we face our own storms, may the Holy Spirit also work through our fear to bring us to deeper faith in Jesus. And in this question from Jesus, why are you afraid? May we not hear condemnation. May we not hear that. Instead, in this question from Jesus, this question that speaks to us in the midst of our own storms, our own challenges, our own trials, may we hear a word of reassurance. May we hear and experience a reminder of God's presence with us. May we hear a true and lasting invitation to deeper and more vibrant faith and trust in Jesus. May we hear this today. And today and every day, as we consider this question from Jesus, as we consider the whole of who he is for us, may God truly help our faith to win out over our fear. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, with those words in our minds, we're going to sing Our Confidence is in the Lord.
Our confidence is in the Lord.
going to lead us in prayer.
Friends, let us now turn our hearts and our minds to our prayers for others. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, on this day of Pentecost, rain down upon us, we pray. Fall upon your church, just as you did at the first Pentecost, when your mighty outpouring of power transformed lives and ignited the life and fire of the church. Holy Spirit, on this day of Pentecost, we pray for the renewal of your people here in Scotland, throughout the UK, and throughout the world. We pray for a real reigniting of your fire in all who follow and worship Jesus as Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, reignite the fire in our hearts, we pray. Fill us afresh with your living power. Transform and renew your church. Come, Holy Spirit, with your tongues of fire and fall upon us in power today. Holy Spirit, at Pentecost, we believe and we know that your tongues of fire settled on the disciples, enabling them to communicate in all languages. Holy Spirit, even today, you impart the language of love and hope and eternal life to all who will believe. We know and we believe that your power is not restricted to any race or particular group of people. Instead, the offer of salvation and hope is open to all. Holy Spirit, on this day, we pray for all who communicate the gospel to our world. Give them the words they need so that people can relate and understand what is being communicated. Open ears, hearts, and minds to receive again the good news of the gospel. Come, Holy Spirit, with your tongues of fire, and fall upon us in power today. Holy Spirit, in the event of Pentecost, you remind us that you, the living God, are an ever-present, an ever-powerful God. You are, as Scripture says, a consuming fire. We pray, Lord, for our world to be purified and rid of all evils, especially the evils of war, injustice, cruelty, hatred, and apathy. Holy Spirit, fall afresh upon this world. Cleanse and purify it. We know that your power is greater than anything we can ever hope to create. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will move in all areas of life and across all continents. Come, Holy Spirit, with your tongues of fire and fall upon us in power today. On this day of Pentecost, we pray, Holy Spirit, that your wisdom, your power, and your truth would fall afresh upon those who serve in every level of government. We pray especially today for the Prime Minister and his cabinet, and for His Majesty the King. May all who lead us be transformed into effective witnesses of your love and truth within the halls of earthly power. Holy Spirit, your power is above all. Transform this nation, we pray. Transform this whole world. Come, Holy Spirit, with your tongues of fire, and fall upon us in power today. This Pentecost, we pray, Holy Spirit, that your mighty and healing power would be upon those who are in need. May it be upon the sick to receive healing. May it be upon the bereaved for them to be comforted. May it be upon those who feel lost that they may see paths open before them. May it be upon those who are hungry and thirsty. May they be fed and satisfied and know your love. And Holy Spirit, we take a moment now. We ask you to fall afresh and move in the lives of those we know personally to be in need. Holy Spirit, may all who are in need see, know, and experience the healing presence that you bring. May you transform lives in ways never imagined. Come, Holy Spirit, with your tongues of fire and fall upon us in power today. Holy Spirit, you are the true breath of life. Come, breathe new life into our communities today, into our families today, into individuals today. Speak afresh into the lives of the young people who hang about in streets, who are all too easy targets for those who seek to groom and manipulate and entice them into vices such as drink, drugs, and prostitution and crime. May you guard our young people from such temptations and from such ill paths, we pray. May you strengthen the vulnerable and purify with your living water those who seek to corrupt others. Come, Holy Spirit, with your tongues of fire and fall upon us in power today. Holy Spirit of God, you are with us always. You are speaking into our life always. It is by your power that we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of the world, of the church, of our lives. As a sign of our faith in your renewing power, we now join our voices in praying the words that the Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Just before we sing our last hymn, one intimation I forgot to mention was that, being the fourth Sunday of the month, we'll have a short time of prayer after the service. So after people have had their coffee, so it would be about 10 minutes after we finish the service, and then the time of prayer. So praying for our church, our churches, and really following on from Joshua's prayer there about the Holy Spirit to really move in us and to move in our communities and to transform us, to make us real witnesses of his. So invite anybody to come and join us for a short time of prayer after the service, whether you actually speak out loud or whether you stay quiet and just join in spirit, that's fine. But just the encouragement of being together and praying together is great. So we're now going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd," putting our trust in him to take us through all situations.
Friends, brothers and sisters, in all the storms we face, may we hear the Lord Jesus speak words of peace and stillness into our lives. In all that we face, may we be drawn back to Jesus again and again. In all that we face, may God help us to choose faith over fear. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us. May it fall afresh upon us and upon all whom we know, this Pentecost and forevermore. Amen.